Well, a good Tuesday afternoon. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone as the Locker returns after a extended 4-day weekend. How'd that go for you?
Good. I'm a fan of the 4-day work week.
Remember?
I was introduced to it at the beginning of the year by you.
Remember with all my son's hockey tournaments and all that stuff? I took a lot of Mondays and Fridays off. You could get used to that, eh?
I get so much done around the yard and everything.
I don't.
I do. I got a ton done. I felt productive. Weather wasn't awful, so it was good. Yeah.
As Mother Nature, as I said yesterday, has brought a little air conditioning this week for Saskatchewan and maybe some rain on and off again. But let's get this thing started. Yes, we begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines. And we are down to the Golden Knights and the Hurricanes for the Stanley Cup.
Whole shot, stop like that, rebound, goes!
Marnerin, big save by Dostal, and they score!
Back in, the chance, he scores!
He has Stone on the break, he's got it, and alone, scores!
Yes, it is game one tonight of the Stanley Cup Finals. 6 o'clock is the puck drop in Raleigh, North Carolina. They haven't seen a Stanley Cup final game since they won it all in game seven against the Edmonton Oilers in 2006. Of course, the leaders for the Vegas Golden Knights, Mitch Marner leads the team with points. In goals, it's Pavel Dorfeev and Brett Howden with 10 goals each. Carter Hart in net 9.924 save percentage, and then over with the Carolina Hurricanes. Taylor Hall leading the team in points with 16. Logan Stankoven with 9 goals, and Freddie Anderson, steady Freddie between the pipes, a 9.31 save percentage going into the Stanley Cup final. We're going to ask you for your predictions today. Give it to us. Who's winning the Stanley Cup? Will it be the Hurricanes or the Golden Knights? And would you like to predict how many games this series will go? 1-877-332-8255. That's the text line to send us in your prediction.
Did they win it at home? I'm trying to remember in 2006. I think they won it.
Oh, Locker, let me tell you a little story about 2006 Stanley Cup final. I remember
it was in Edmonton, right?
It was not in Edmonton, and I can tell you why it wasn't in Edmonton. Because young Jamie Nye, at the age of 25 years old, that night, NHL broadcast needed somebody to hang out with Bob Beers, who was the ringside reporter for the American broadcast. And that night, I didn't have a job for Ched that I worked with. I didn't have to do anything on the Oilers broadcast. So they said, hey, Jamie, NHL radio needs your help. So I had to run tape. So Bob Beers would do an interview between the periods. And then I'd take the tape and I'd run upstairs and I'd give it to the producer and they'd plug it in. Then they'd play it. And then I'd go back downstairs with Bob. He'd do another interview. I'd take that tape and I'd run it back upstairs. Jamie, if Carolina wins the Stanley Cup tonight, you're going to be busy. We're going to need you in that locker room, getting tape from Bob, bringing it back upstairs, going back up, getting the tape from Bob. If the Carolina Hurricanes win the Stanley Cup tonight, you will be in the locker room with the Carolina Hurricanes in their Stanley Cup celebration. But no, the Edmonton Oilers had to win, force a game seven back in Carolina, and lose the cup anyways.
Well, I have a feeling they're going to win in Vegas this time. That's my prediction.
So,
we'll get into that.
Yes, game seven was in Raleigh, North Carolina in 2006. And that's the story of how I came that close to being in the winning locker room of the Stanley Cup. But the Oilers ruined it. Probably another reason I hate that organization. Add it to the list.
The Canucks go with Manny Malhotra as their new head coach for the Canucks.
He showed the type of coach and person he is, not by winning a championship. It was navigating what he did last season with all the injuries, and to see that when you can rely on the foundation of the consistent environment and the coaching through the worst of times, and even though the wins and losses aren't there, it tells you a lot about him.
So that is the general manager of the Vancouver Canucks, Ryan Johnson. So if you have a moment today, go have a look at a picture of Manny Malhotra. Make sure it's today. This is an interesting little experiment. Then have a look at Ryan Johnson, a picture of him from today. And then go look at the Sedins. This is going to be one of the worst organizations to play for if you're a little doughy.
Those four guys might be
in
shape individuals in hockey right now in the coaching management. Like, there's a lot of guys who, after their NHL careers, they stopped going to the gym. Yeah. These four are not those types of players. They could probably still play in the NHL today.
Maybe that's the strategy. I was thinking about that. Maybe if they need an extra player, they'll throw Sedin in, right? One of the Sedins.
Need to win a draw? Throw Manny Malhotra out there again.
Like from Slapshot, Reg. Anyway, Malhotra has been the coach of the Canucks farm team in Abbotsford for the last two seasons, including the winning AHL title in 2025. He served as an assistant in the NHL in Vancouver and Toronto previously. Malhotra played for the Canucks. He was actually on the ice with the Sedins. He was also their assistant coach in their final season in Vancouver. Malhotra takes over for Adam Foote, who only lasted one season.
Well, Canada's World Cup warm-up game started last night in a rainy Edmonton, Alberta against Uzbekistan.
Picked up by Oluwaseyi once again. Osorio drives it in! Jonathan Osorio with the goal to give Canada the lead in Edmonton. It's Tanny Oluwaseyi for Nelson! 2-0! Jaden Nelson with a goal!
Yes, Jonathan Osorio scored the first, Nelson with the second. 2-0 win for Canada. It was an ugly, rainy day in Edmonton. Bombito, who's recovering from a fractured leg, he was kind of limping off the pitch last night, taken out after 30 minutes. He was expected to go for a full half. But we do know Canada already needs to add to their roster. Marcelo Flores over the weekend in the CONCACAF Champions League tore his ACL, so he is out for the World Cup. They'll need to name a replacement. They have until the day before their first game next week against Bosnia-Herzegovina when they start that tournament.
All right, and the Jays start June, hoping their summer is as hot as it was last year.
Guerrero lines it to left, and it's down and all the way to the wall. Springer is on his way home. He is waving Clement home, and Ernie is in to score as the Blue Jays have taken the lead on a huge two-run double by Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
And if you missed it, they split their weekend series against the Orioles. At this time last year, the Jays were 31-29. This year, kind of weird, they're 29-31. The Blue Jays are tied for the final wild card spot with the Texas Rangers. Jays are in Atlanta against the Braves for their next three. Last year it was June where we started to notice that this might be a team that that could go on a bit of a run. The Blue Jays are starting to get red. They started to get red hot when they went 16-10. So they're starting. They've got some signs. And Kevin Gausman has the ball for the Blue Jays tonight. That is a 5:15 start.
And tonight on TSN, the CFL Top 50 list drops.
Rourke on the roll to his right. Finds a man looking down to the end zone, and he's in. Touchdown, Lions.
Inside the 35, faking the handoff. Rourke, deep long, touchdown, BC Lions.
Okay, so we're all in agreement that Nathan Rourke's going to be number one tonight in the Top 50 list? Agreed?
Yeah.
Agreed?
Yeah.
Seconded?
Yeah.
Okay, passed. Nathan Rourke, number one player in the Canadian Football League.
That seems fairly obvious, no?
If it's now TSN did a video and Enoch Mwamba tried to make the case for Davis Alexander. I'm like, come on, you guys. This is manufactured debate. Enoch Mwamba doesn't actually believe Davis Alexander is number one over Nathan Rourke. Like, please.
Can I put Davis Alexander as number two, though?
You sure. I'll tell you you're wrong, but okay. Go ahead.
All right. I got him number two.
That's our question today. Who's number two? If Nathan Rourke, and we're all agreed Nathan Rourke's the best player in the Canadian Football League in the top 50 list, who's number two? Locker says Davis Alexander. My ballot, had Kenny Lawler number two. What that man does catching the football for Bo Levi Mitchell, I think makes Bo look real good with some of the numbers. Half those passes sometimes should not be caught, and Kenny Lawler's doing ridiculous things.
I wasn't sure if that was as much Bo as it was Kenny. And
well, they're both great. Like, they were both in my top five. Bo was number five, Kenny Lawler number two. They're a great 1-2 combination. My other top five were Brady Oliveira was number three, and Keon Hatcher, receiver of the BC Lions, Nathan Rourke's favorite target, who had like 1,700 yards last year, was my number four.
Trevor Harris, have you got him at least in the top 10 this year?
No.
Okay.
I think he's 11. Okay. Roland Milligan was my top rider. He's in my top 10.
Okay.
But then you have some defensive players you have to consider. Matthew Betts was the defensive player of the year last year.
Yeah.
I think Trevor was 11 on my ballot. He was right close to the top 10.
Where would he have been last year?
He was 24 last year.
But where was he on your list?
Higher than 24. I can't remember where.
Okay.
1-877-332-8255. Okay, we're all agreed. Nathan Rourke's number one. Who should be number two tonight when the TSN unveils the CFL top 50 players? 1-877-332-8255. Give us your vote now on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with a year in the green zone. Dave is agreeing with me. Kenny Lawler is number two player in the Canadian Football League. The CFL on TSN top 50 list comes out tonight. Nathan Rourke's number one. Like, let's be serious.
Yeah.
Locker, let's be serious. But here are the contenders for number two. You mentioned Davis Alexander. I mentioned Kenny Lawler. Brady Oliveira, Winnipeg Blue Bombers running back, would be in consideration.
Wasn't he number two last year?
He was number one last year. Number two was Roland Milligan Jr., defensive back of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Matthew Betts, defensive end. He was the defensive player of the year last year. Bo Levi Mitchell, maybe get some votes at number two. He was.
I could see him.
He was the finalist for most outstanding player against Nathan Rourke last season. Justin Rankin is, he's not going to be number two, but damn. I have him next year will be a top three player in the Canadian Football League. That's my breakout.
Yeah, you like him.
Now, I can't call him breakout player of the year. He broke out last year, but he's still,
he needs to win.
Elks didn't win, so it was this, everybody knew he was really good, but he didn't really get the heat that other stars get because his team sucks.
That's why I wonder if your Kenny Lawler pick is a strong one because of the success that Hamilton had last year.
Well, there's going to be a lot of love for Davis Alexander, too. Of course, he broke that record of win streak off the start of a career. But I'm telling you, I looked at the teams he played for that 8-0 record in the regular season. He played Ottawa three times. Toronto twice, Edmonton.
Yeah, but he
once.
Came back and played a pretty important game at the end of the season
and
too.
Lost.
I know, but
and lost. By the way, the only time he played the Riders last year was an L. But we'll see what happens tonight. Let us know what you think. 1-877-332-8255. Who should be number two behind Nathan Rourke for the best player in the Canadian Football League? Jamie Locker with you here in the Green Zone, and tonight it begins. The Stanley Cup Final, the Carolina Hurricanes and the Vegas Golden Knights in Raleigh. The last Stanley Cup Final game there was Game 7, 2006, when Rod Brind'Amour was presented the Stanley Cup from Gary Bettman in Game 7 against the Edmonton Oilers. And now they're back again with Rod Brind'Amour behind the bench to preview it. Is John Shannon from 100% Hockey, the podcast. John, will this be the last Stanley Cup presented by Gary Bettman? What about the rumblings that the guy I call Gare Bear might be leaving the National Hockey League or at least starting the process in finding a replacement.
I don't believe it.
No?
No.
Really?
No, no. Now, he's having his press conference as we speak in Raleigh. I think that he has two more important issues to fix in his mind, and that is the next TV deal in the United States, and then find a way to finish the collective bargaining agreement in 2030, and then he will be done.
Okay.
So this is Canada's going to have to wait a little bit longer for to for a Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup then.
That's my prediction. By the way,
so we're just blaming Gary for all that.
Yep, I do.
I don't. That's
he's cursed the Canadian franchises.
No.
My prediction is the day he walks away, we'll have a winner in Canada.
I was in the building. I was there in, was it the Stanley Cup final? When Gary Bettman was in Edmonton. And Edmonton, Alberta cheered Gary Bettman. I'll never forget it because it was after the lockout. He brought in the salary cap, and Canadian teams were, wow, we get to compete again. Like, that was the overall sense, right, John?
Yes, but even before that, in the late 90s, he invented a thing called the Canadian Equalization Program. Which basically was revenue sharing between the American-based teams and the Canadian-based teams because our dollar was at 62 cents. And so even if you were losing money in the United States with your team, say the St. Louis Blues, you were having to pony up $3 to $4 million to distribute it to Winnipeg, to Calgary, to Edmonton, and to Ottawa, the four basic Canadian teams that were basically being submerged with debt when the Canadian dollar was so bad. Mm. That was really, in many ways, one of the greatest things Gary ever did was to allow those Canadian teams to survive because we were within days, quite frankly, of losing the Edmonton Oilers to Houston at one point. And obviously they lost Winnipeg and lost Quebec City.
John, is this Stanley Cup final matchup bad for hockey?
Oh, no. This is a fantastic matchup. This is going to be as close to rock'em sock'em hockey as you're going to have. These are two teams that play with intensity. There's going to be a ton of physical play. I think once we get past the heat belt. I mean, it's 100 degrees Fahrenheit in Raleigh today. It's going to be 105 in Vegas for every game, Fahrenheit. But once we get past that, I think we're going to enjoy two teams that play on the edge, have a great deal of character, have a lot of depth, and a lot of speed. This might be one of the most fun series from the opening faceoff of Game 1 that we've seen in a long period of time.
John, I'm interested on, of course, you have an extensive background, one of the top, sports broadcasting executives. What do you think this series is going to do in Canada? Like, for hockey fans, as you say, great matchup, great hockey is going to be played, but will Vegas and Carolina bring people to their couches?
Perhaps not. It's funny. The ratings in the United States are probably at 10-year highs right now. When you consider both TNT and ESPN have recorded great numbers in the playoffs, I think a lot of that has to do with hockey fans that jumped on board during the Olympics and watched the Americans win and have stuck with it and have enjoyed it. We have not heard one word from Sportsnet, from Rogers, about TV ratings in these playoffs. Not one word, which usually indicates that the numbers aren't worth bragging about.
Hmm.
So, we've all been through it. I mean, we've been through years where the ratings dipped. I mean, in one of my years as the executive producer of Hockey Night in 1998, I don't think we reached 1 million people watching the last four games of the Stanley Cup final. which was heartbreaking for all of us and the advertisers and the and the revenue from sponsorship. But that's the ebbs and flows of what you have when you have two non-Canadian teams playing in the Stanley Cup final. That year was Detroit-Washington.
Should this matchup, and I agree with you, I just want to make sure that I highlight this, John, because we had such a great week. The last conversation we had was such a good conversation for you and I and the relationship that we are building here. But
although John doubted everything about his takes.
By the way, I lost sleep over that.
I figured you would.
I lost sleep over that. It was a little concerning. I went back and found it on the podcast and tried to listen to it again, saying, I can't believe I'm doing that, but I did.
Okay, so, but should this matchup, the hockey's going to be fantastic, and I am going to be watching. Should this matchup, though, reignite the playoff format conversation?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You know, and I mean, this is, again, where the commissioner has been adamant that, you know, 16 teams make the playoffs. We don't have a play-in tournament like the NBA does because our March and April are just a fantastic 45-day window of teams vying for those playoff spots. And it usually takes to the last two or three days to get everybody in the right spot and jockeying for position. And, in fact, I have not heard one word during these playoffs that says, We've got to rethink the playoff format. I mean, when you look at what happened to the Colorado Avalanche, who were, you know, the best team in hockey for 82 games. Remember the start? They had a great start. They won the President's Trophy, and they get eliminated in four games. So being at the top of the heap didn't mean a hill of beans.
Or does it just mean that they got beat up on the front end of the playoffs?
Listen, Utah and Minnesota both probably took a pound of flesh out of them. There's no question about that. I mean, when Cale Makar is as hurt as he was, and Nathan MacKinnon blocks a shot, and he's limping around. But you know, the one thing that I think, if you look at Colorado, is they showed that they didn't have near the depth that we thought they were supposed to have. After such a great season, and that's one of the reasons why I think these two teams are the two best teams in hockey, because they have a ton of depth. You know, when the Vegas Golden Knights lose Braden McNabb to suspension, or lose another defenseman to injury, and Dylan Coghlan comes in and scores the first goal of a game, that shows a great sign of depth. And I think both these two teams, could probably have three or four guys that are going to sit in the press box tonight that could play and contribute to the success of either of the teams winning the cup.
John Shannon is joining us, host of 100% Hockey, the podcast. He'll have you covered for the Stanley Cup final, of course, and what could be a busy offseason once it all ends. It's already starting with all the hirings and everything else going on. But, John, who's going to win the Stanley Cup? What do you think?
Well, I think Vegas is going to win. I really do. And I don't know whether Locker agrees with me. If he does, I might change my mind.
I don't. You're good. You're safe. You can sit on that one.
I think Vegas wins in six. To me, the difference, the unsung superstar of these playoffs has been Jack Eichel. You know, Marner's got all the press because of who he was and where he came from. Mark Stone came back into the lineup and contributed right away. Carter Hart has been good, but Jack Eichel has been so steady and so strong through these playoffs. I think that in so many ways, that Jordan Staal Jack Eichel matchup we're going to see at least for these next two games is going to be fantastic, and that's why I give Eichel's stardom the edge for the Golden Knights to win the Stanley Cup.
Some very interesting storylines. You mentioned Marner. You mentioned Carter Hart. Let's say Carter Hart wins, gets a Stanley Cup, and hands down is the reason why Vegas wins the big trophy at the end of it all.
Yep.
Should he get the Conn Smythe?
Why not?
All right. Do you think they'll vote for him?
But the writers, I don't. The Conn Smythe's voted on by 12 writers, 12 members of the Professional Hockey Writers Association. I think in so many ways, what Carter Hart went through in his previous life, I think has been set aside for most people during these playoffs, and certainly. We'll have to judge if it gets set aside during the Stanley Cup final, and it's you know, is it going to be a topic? It will be a topic. It won't go away. It may never go away for the rest of his life. But I don't think when you're talking about you know, his play on the ice, I think you have to vote. If he was that good, he was that valuable, then yes, he could win the Conn Smythe, and there isn't an asterisk beside his name.
If the Vegas Golden Knights win, will it be Marner, though, that just takes the Conn Smythe back to Toronto with his Stanley Cup?
Well, if Mitch continues to lead the league in scoring in the playoffs, I think there's probably a good chance of that. But I would suggest that a lot of the weight of the MVP in the playoffs is based 50% on what they do in the Stanley Cup final. So if Mitch is one of the three candidates from the Golden Knights today, and I would say Eichel, I would say Hart, I would say Marner. To me, then it's, you know, if it's one of those three guys, then it's going to have to be a guy that was dominant in this series. And that's why I think it's going to be Jack Eichel's tournament, it's Jack Eichel's series to win.
Are we doing enough in the NHL when players leave to talk about mental health?
That's a good question. You know, hockey players hockey players we put on pedestals. We do. We put them on pedestals. We make them heroes. And for the time of their careers, that's a fantastic storyline. A lot of the guys don't want to be heroes. They just want to play the game they love. At the same time, mental health does not discriminate. Mental health does not, you know, separate athletes, movie stars, politicians, from day-to-day people. Mental health is a major issue in every side of society.
That's fair.
We probably don't do enough in society. You know, we don't, and I think your question is more in reference to what happened with Claude Lemieux earlier this week.
Yeah.
But we don't know Claude Lemieux's story. We don't know everything behind in the shadows of Claude's life. We don't. We think we do, but we don't. We don't know what was going on in his mind. We don't know what was going on with his family. We don't know what was going on in his business life. We just don't. So to answer the question that we don't do enough I think it's a fair question to ask, but it's so complex. But we need to do a better job in society, period, about mental health, to make sure that people have opportunities to heal themselves if they want to be healed. If we can get through to them that they should be healed.
Well, John Welsh said, thank you, as always, for your time. And we started with a Gary Bettman question, so we'll close with Gary Bettman's quote. Nothing is imminent for Gary Bettman's succession plan. Reports on my demise have been greatly exaggerated. So
was that today? Was that today?
That was today.
So I was kind of right, huh?
Yeah, there you go. That's why we ask you on the show, John.
Yeah,
you're usually right, except those times you agree with Walker. Then we
then we have to have some sort of Senate subcommittee on that. I tell you, just circle the date 2030 for Gary.
Okay, 2030. We'll put it on the board, our prediction board over here to my right, John. We'll do that for you.
So another 4 years without a cop in Canada. Okay, we'll write that down.
John, appreciate your time. Enjoy the cup.
Cheers, boys.
That is John Shannon. 100% Hockey is the podcast you need to check out. Coming up next, This Day in Sports on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.